847-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is in the studio. I'm always glad he's here. Sandy, before we went to break, we were talking about why we don't hear a lot about the successes of China. I even said to you about the successes of Germany and other nations that are doing some great things in this country. And I don't know why we should be, those things should matter.
Well, I think, what we were talking about before that was this need to look at the actual geopolitical interest of the United States and figure out what we really cared about and try and figure out why and have the public understand all this, because maybe we could begin to put a net around defense expenditures in this sense we have that we have to be the policeman for the world and we have to supposedly defend democracy when what it appears we're doing when the American public actually examines it is we're protecting an American interest that doesn't have anything to do with the democracy of the country we're fighting in or otherwise. But that does relate back to what kind of information do we have in America about the world and how do we develop an understanding of what the American interest is in it? And an example you were providing was China. We don't seem to know much about China or give much credit to China for the immense development they've had there. And I was saying, the American view of that is that they're pirates, the Chinese basically stole a lot of technology and leapfrogged forward because of essentially a bunch of dishonest behavior. That defies both our own logic and logic generally and the facts. I mean, China did have access to technology, much of it lawful. They didn't sign a patent treaty. They had access to all the technology of all the assets that the United States manufacturing companies decided to put into China. And before the break, I was explaining how it was that American manufacturers have a lot of long-term arrangements which look a lot like ownership of substantial manufacturing in China. China had access to our technology, but they also had something else. They had the will and the organizational skills to have the ability to educate a massive number of people and to create and make available a massive number of able workers to plug into manufacturing. And they have created, in a couple of decades, a middle class which probably numbers as big as the American middle class already and is going to clearly surpass it, because they have 1.3 billion people and they have probably 400 million of them now actively involved in the economy. They got 900 million to go.
So how is China able to do that and yet India is not? Or is India on its way towards the same path that China undertook? And if that occurs, is it even more long-term that our nation is going to be,
Well, I think there are both geopolitical things that and realities, and also cultural realities. And I think the cultural reality of China is, number one, it's an ancient country with dynasties that go way back. It's an ancient country that's been organized for thousands of years in a very organized fashion. And I don't think India had that advantage. India is an ancient country, but it never achieved the kind of organizations that the Chinese dynasties did before both first nationalist China and then communist China.
But they're educating their people too. So at some point in time, is that going to pan out to?
Sure. And the American notion that we have a monopoly on technological innovation is going to be the falseness of that is going to be exposed by the truth over time, because there's no reason why we should have a corner. American exceptionalism, number one, is something for us all to maybe be skeptical about, but that exceptionalism does not include having a monopoly on imagination and innovation. And we're finding that out to some extent with respect to computer savviness. Hacking is in many respects a criminal activity, but it's also a reflection of computer sophistication. And the United States is not the leader in the world in the capacity to hack. That leadership actually belongs to the two warring parties right now, Ukraine and Russia. And So, you know, we've got lots of things that realities that we should be facing up to, and if we don't, we're going to expedite the rate at which America declines.
You know, you use the word America declining, and that is just not something that's talked about rarely, if ever, by Americans. And I think, Sandy, that is part of all of this. The fact that we don't want to accept, you know, a decline,
yeah,
that, as you said long ago, it's happening now.
Well, by decline, you know, you can have a decline that's an absolute decline, both politically, culturally, and economically,
or educationally, and too.
Or you can have a decline that simply is a decline in the level of control the United States exerts over the world, but all of the rest of the things you're measuring could be an ascendancy. We could have an ascending education. We could have an ascending share of the riches of America and profits. We could have an ascending capacity to have generally a culture that is on the uprise, even if our dominance in the world is going down, if we address all the issues that we have to address. But if we put our head in the sand and don't face up to those things which keep us from having essentially an ascending standard of living for a broader number of people in our country, then we will have an absolute decline like Rome had.
So why it's so important to today's Americans that we are, you know, that we have to lead the world in everything. I mean, I understand. I understood, you know,
I think it's
in the past,
yeah,
where that came from. But it certainly doesn't equate to today tomorrow.
Well, and it's a false goal, and it's even falsely measured. I mean, are we leading the world in education quality in the country? No. Are we leading the world in health care received by the population? No. You know, what are we measuring when we decide whether we're leading? What we are leading the world in is our military capacity to flex muscle around the world. That's what we lead
in. Right, right.
Yes. And that's really something
want to be proud of?
Is that something we need to sustain? Or can we actually better sustain all the objectives of a society without bearing the cost of that? And I keep pointing at an article. I go back and reread it every once in a while. It was in I think it was 2010 in the New York Times Sunday Magazine, and it was a comparison between Toyota and General Motors. I think the title of it was 0 to 60 in a decade. And it was the story of how Toyota, by having a culture in which they embraced the discovery of problems and rewarded people for coming forward who could identify how they could what was wrong with their production system and how they could improve it, what was wrong with their cars and how they could improve it.
Right.
And they was compared to General Motors, where the culture there was shoot the messenger. You know, don't find problems, because General Motors is the world's exceptional automobile maker. Stop, full stop, definition. By definition. And what happened? In a decade, Toyota rose to the top of world automobiles, and General Motors descended rapidly.
So I saw that in my 34 years of working in the auto industry. I saw exactly what it is you're talking about. I remember early on when I was working at A. O. Smith, we didn't have statistical process control, SPC.
Yeah.
We didn't have that. So what we had was, hey, just didn't matter if we were running scrap, just run as many parts as you could run. We've got a place over here where we'll repair the scrap. We can repair the stuff that was not acceptable. We always had extra stations, extra people. All we wanted were to make sure we ran the numbers. But somewhere along the line, what was the guy's name who used to be here and created that statistical process control and Deming?
Deming, yes.
Yeah, Deming.
Deming.
And we kicked him out, and he went to China.
Right.
Or Japan, whichever one it was. And you remember the Toyotas. at the time, and they were really just in the 70s, they were just nothing.
Right.
And they changed. They looked at things and they made the changes. America stayed the same. And we wound up seeing the outcome of that.
Right.
We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You tune into the Erlinger Show, Sandy Williams. So Sandy.